great to have our guests with us today, and just Brother Josh, and just different ones, and just thrilled that you're here. And we have a special guest, Brother Al Valderas, for many years. I don't know exactly how many years. I know it's been longer than since I've been here. Our church has supported the seminary, and I don't want to get too much into the introduction, but Brother Al Valderas is the president of a seminary in Mexico, and that is in Reynosa. And so he'll be sharing not only a report, but a thank you and preaching. We were picking at him. We said at 12:01, the trap door opens under the pulpit. Choom! And so, you know, just gave him a hint there. And so I shared with him our experience with the 2.5-hour missionary that we had one time. I said, we will drop all support if you go that long. And we had an MBSF, I don't know if you remember it, from Monroe. The director fella from Monroe came one time, and I said, the shorter you go, the more money you get. And trying to give him an incentive. But no, he'll also be sharing a portion of God's Word. I'd worked it out with Brother Buddy Boykin over at Egypt. He'll be going over there tonight, and their church was looking at maybe some different missionaries or different things that they could do. At least that's what Brother Buddy had shared with me. And so pray for Egypt that they'll be able to continue. They're really stretching their budget, they told me. And also, speaking of stretching your budget and all that, I don't, turn up your thermostat a little bit and give more to a missionary. I don't know how to do that, but God will do it. But many of you already participate in a deal that we do here at Promised Land called Faith Promise. It's just a promise that I give a little extra by faith to the Lord. And you might see an envelope in front of you, World Mission. If you were to drop a dollar or $5, $20 in this envelope, you drop it in the offering plate when it comes around, and you may want to do this today. I don't care if it's a dollar. God is a God who takes a little boy's sack lunch and can feed 5,000 people with it, okay? So God can take your dollar, $5, or whatever you put in the envelope. And some of you already do this and participate. You know. So, I mean, I'm just preaching to the choir here. And so you already know about this. But if there's someone here that didn't, I just want to share with you, let you would know what this envelope is all about. And and so just to encourage you to do that. And like I say, just see what God does. See what God does if you were to do that $5, $10, or whatever it would be extra a week. By the way, our church asks that the only ones who give to this regularly are the ones who are already tithing. And so if you're not already tithing to the church, you're a church member, and that you just don't worry about faith promise. You just pray about tithing. And it's amazing. It's unbelievable. Now, I'm not like these preachers on TV. They're idiots, okay? And most of them, not all of them, but they promise you a Cadillac and $1 million in the bank. God just says, I'm going to give you food and clothing, okay? So none of those silly promises are coming from Brother Michael, okay? God's Word just says He's going to provide for your needs. And but I just want to thank our church. I'm glad to have Brother Al. So glad he made it in safely in his long drive. I let him share that with you yesterday evening and spent the night with us. And I invite him to spend tonight if he needed to before he heads way back down south or wherever his next destination has him going. But I'm thrilled to see you. Pray for church camp. Some of them are already over there. Lift them up in prayer, and if there's somebody you haven't had a chance to say hi to, now's the time. Everybody stand up, go around, shake somebody's hand right now. Thank you. If you need a little rain, say amen.
Amen.
I was wondering what I'd get with that one. Okay, y'all do. Okay, we'll pray for it. Well, let's see. Last Sunday I preached. I brought a little rain, didn't I? But I'm not preaching today. So. Yeah, I tried. Lay it on the line. Get it out. Brother, that's one time I got so tickled. It was raining cats and dogs. And for several days, I said, well, Brother Lee, you're not getting to work. All that rain, he said, don't worry, that's job security. And so I like that attitude. And that's true. Taking some time off, but that definitely makes the grass grow. Brother Bull's still recovering from surgery, and Miss Betty is also, and Lawhorn, I and all. And we stopped in at Brother Bull when he picked up Taylor in praise report. Taylor's back home. There she is. And from Washington, D.C., Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and all those other places she stopped at. And did her thing over there and traveled safely by herself across the country. And thank the Lord she made it just fine. We saw Brother Bull 9:30 at night in the hospital and dropped in on him. And Taylor's plane was landing around 10. But he's making it. Any other prayer requests or praise reports anyone may have? Yeah. If you have an unspoken, let it be known by lifting your hand. Just thank you for raising your hand. Remember each of these. I want to ask Brother Larry Collins, would you lead us, please, sir? Amen.
Okay, John 3:16. Okay, it's called Juan. Juan is John. 3:16. 3:16, and it goes, porque de tal manera amó Dios al mundo que ha dado a su Hijo unigénito para que todo aquel que en él cree no se pierda, mas tenga vida eterna.
That's right.
he said he knew some Spanish.
That's pretty sharp. Anyway, I tell you what, I appreciate for that.
Well, I'm supposed to introduce a special at this time, but I think I've had some timers' moments, you know. Brother Evan had a special this morning, and he told me last week who was going to take his place. Do we have a special this morning? Ethan, okay.
Thank you, Brother Lauren. As Ethan's coming on up and getting ready, I just want to introduce our speaker. So after, and I'll help Brother Al in just a second set up, because he's not only going to thank the church, but also share with you what God is doing in Reynosa and other places that the seminary is working and doing and all the ministries that he's been involved in and through. And I put it in your bulletin for you, and it's got a little bit of the history of the seminary there for you. It's an old, 1967, it's the same age as me. Well, it's pretty young. Okay, it's a young seminary. But anyway, so our speaker, Brother Al Valderas, president of the Mexican Baptist Institute, Reynosa, Mexico. And so pray for him as he brings this report and message after this special. Thanks, Brother Ethan.
Sometimes at night, when I am afraid, I cover my eyes, and I cover my shame. But here in the dark, broken apart, come with your light and fill up my heart. Oh, great light of the world, fill up my soul. I'm a half a man here, so come make me whole. Great light of the world, come to impart the light of your grace to fill up my heart. The wind of this world can push us around, folding us up and backing us down. But here in the dark, I'm not alone. Come with your strength and carry me home. Oh, great light of the world, fill up my soul. I'm a half a man here, so come make me whole. Oh, great light of the world, come to impart the light of your grace. Oh, great light of the world, fill up my soul. I'm a half a man here, so come make me whole. Oh, great light of the world, come to impart the light of your grace to fill up my heart. The light of your grace to fill up my heart.
I want to thank you all for the opportunity to speak to you all and to present the report on the Mexican Baptist Institute and some of the mission work going on in Mexico. I know you all have been helping support the Mexican Baptist Institute since I've been there. I went to seminary in 1986 after surrendering to preach. And in the second year of my seminary studies, they made me treasurer of the school. So I know that you all have been helping since then, and I want to thank you all for it. Your support has helped us to prepare men and women for the ministry. And I'd like to say that right now in Mexico, Texas, even Arkansas, and Central America, there's over 125 churches and missions that have been started or being pastored by former graduates of the Mexican Baptist Institute. Even here, the brother here in Smackover, he's a graduate of the Mexican Baptist Institute, Brother Francisco. And I want to thank you all for your support, your prayers, and your support for the different projects throughout since I've known Brother Michael and when Brother Williams was here. I know you all took a mission trip down to the Mexican Baptist Institute and helped down there. I have just a few slides of some of the work down in Mexico. This is Brother Rodolfo. Brother Michael was there during his ordination a couple years ago on his trip to Cancun. This is his family and his children and his wife. Okay. This is Brother Ramon here on the very, on this side in the white. And he's sponsored by Veal Switch Baptist Church in Hugh Springs, Texas. Butch Shipp is the pastor. This is the campsite in Saltillo where you all have contributed quite a bit. And this is just the background. Our camp is right below that mountain. This is the first camp we had back in 2006. And we had no sanctuary. We met right there. We put a tarp up. And that's where we met for our worship services. Right here is Brother Marcelino. I'm looking to get a sponsoring church for him. He's working in Ticul in the state of Yucatan. And he's a very short man, but he's a very energetic man. He works to support himself and his family. I was telling Brother Michael that he drives a taxi. And when he left Reynosa, you know, when he graduated from seminary, he got kind of chubby. And once he went back, I said, "What are you doing, Brother Marcelino?" He says, "I'm driving a taxi." And he was very fit. I said, "Man, how'd you get so fit?" He says, "Well, my taxi, it's a tricycle that I have to pedal all day." And you'll see one here in a little bit. And he takes people back and forth. In that tricycle. There in the shade, he's pedaling all day long. That's why he is so fit. This is Brother Rodolfo. This is Brother Marcelino again. That's his graduation picture. This is Brother Rodolfo, who also needs a strong sponsoring church. Right now, our church in Reynosa sponsors this two missionaries. And the help that we give them is that we pay their rent for their buildings or the houses that they rent. And then they work for a living. Brother Rodolfo works at a hotel in just south of Cancun, Mexico. He's the gardener there. Okay, and Brother Marcelino, this is Brother Ramon Mendez, who's also a missionary down there. Here's Brother Ramon and his family. He's working in Playa del Carmen, which is about 45 miles south of Cancun. And he's doing a very good work. I'm looking for support also to send three young people from my church to go help him with VBS. Last year we helped a missionary there in Cancun. We sent three young persons, and they did the vacation Bible schools. And Brother Daniel Gutierrez, who is the missionary, is still working with some of them young children. This is the tricycle, the taxi cab. And this is Brother Daniel Cante. He's also a missionary down there, and his wife and his daughter. And that's what he also does. He drives a taxi all day long, or pedals a taxi, taking people from one place to another. This is our campsite. This is the kitchen that we just built, which you all helped to buy the tin with the $500 offering that you sent earlier in the year. And that's going to be our kitchen. This is one of our dorms, and we were able to pour the floor in it and also pour the sidewalk around it. This two of the brethren that were put in the tin on the kitchen. This is the kitchen before it had the roof. That's going to be our permanent kitchen. This are some brethren from my church on May 30 and 31st, which was a Saturday and Sunday. I baptized 18 brethren from my church, 9 on Saturday. We were going to go to the Gulf, to the beach, South Padre Island, but that was when the flu scare was in session, and they closed the beach. We couldn't go to the beach because they thought that we could catch the flu or you know, get somebody else with it. So we were not able to go to baptize in the ocean. So Saturday, which was the day we're going to the ocean, we baptized 9 brethren. And then, of course, on Sunday, we baptized 9 other brethren. The Lord has been blessing the last year. When I went to church there in 1995, they called me there as pastor, I got called in August, and I thought, by December, I'll have to tear the back walls down, because I'm going to have this place busting, you know. But, you know, 12 years went by, and we didn't tear anything down. But I'll tell you what, since last July, the Lord has been blessing. It started with camp. And we had people saved at camp. We had people saved a Sunday after camp. It just seemed like we had somebody saved every weekend. And this last year, at the church that I pastor, the Good Shepherd Baptist Church there in Reynosa, we had 60 professions of faith, and I baptized, I think it was 42. And we went from an average of 60 in attendance to 120 currently. Last week, we remodeled our church because we couldn't get them all in there. And we extended the building. And last week was our dedication service, and we had over 130 people in there. And it's already full, and hopefully the Lord will bless, and we'll have to buy a new property and build a bigger building so we can fill it up again. But anyway, this is some of the brethren that were baptized. This is our congregation on May 31st, the Sunday right before we tore the back walls out. On June 1st, we started tearing down the walls and the back. We're mixing concrete to pour the platform in front. This is our church from the outside and all the rubble. We met outside on the parking lot for a month, for the whole month of June. Here we put the sheetrock up. Here we started laying the floor. It's a tile. And here you can see how it was progressing. And here you see it finished up. That's the floor. Here, this is, we started putting in our pews again. This is last Sunday, our dedication service. This is our young people. They got up to sing a special. And this is our, also last Sunday, we had our brother Marco Tulio Mejia. He's a missionary in Deming, New Mexico. And he came and preached our message for our dedication service. And we're still not done. We still need some work. Our church, many times we think that we're poor and that we can't do a lot of things, but we did some faith promises. And our church was able, in 3 months, we came up with $6,000. This is from a Mexican congregation. And I had three churches from the States each send me $500, which was $1,500. And we were able to remodel our church and extend the back wall so we can get in about 45 more people in there and comfortably seated in the pews. And I know that you all pray for Mexican missions and missions around the world. And I want to thank you for it, because without prayers, I don't know how far we could go or how much we could resist, I guess you may want to call it that way. Because I tell people, the devil knows what we're doing. And he's not happy with it. He knows his days are counted. And he knows with enthusiasm and people believing that God is with them, that we can, it's not that, Satan is trying to come into the church. When Jesus said the doors of hell shall not, the gates of hell shall not prevail. I know it in Spanish, but Satan knows, brethren, that if we continue preaching with enthusiasm and passion and believe what the Lord says, hey, that we're going to take some of those souls that he thinks he already has in hell, and we can get them out of there, take them from him, by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for your prayers and your support and just continuing believing. This is not a time to quit. We are living in times that are difficult times. We went through the flu scare. The economy's gone down. And people are panicking, And all this, I believe that the Lord is causing it because the end times are near. And the only thing sure is that it's going to get worse before it gets worse. That's the only sure thing. And this is a time when Christians, when believers need to stand firm and believe what the Bible says. Believe that our Savior is the Creator. He is all-powerful. He knows the end already. And we're going to be victorious at the end. You can turn this off, brother. And brother, we got to stick together and we got to be faithful, because one of these days the end is going to come. The end of the world as we know it. It's going to come. The ground we stand on is going to be shaken. And if you're not steadfast, trusting in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and of the Bible, you will probably despair and maybe faint in fear. We're living in times that the Bible talks about. It's not the tribulation yet, but I think we are going through some of the birth pains. The women know what this is about. And you all that have had children while you were pregnant and you had those birth pains and you think, man, here it comes. The time is here. And you know there's going to be pain. There's going to be discomfort. Especially if it's your first one, you don't know what to expect, but you know that baby's coming. And the end times are coming. And I think we're only going through birth pains, my brethren, and we need to stand firm. I'm afraid that this country, by the, I'm afraid this country is going to be going down as far as its standing in the world. as far as it being the most powerful country. Because I don't want to get into politics, but brethren, Jesus said, having eyes to see, they hear, they see not, and having ears to hear, they hear not. And just think what we have in Washington, D.C. And I'm not only talking about the president, our Congress, our Senate. They don't care about us. They care about themselves and getting reelected. And brethren, if we're trusting in them, well, we're going to be greatly disappointed. I think they're going to bring this country to where God wants it, to where we truly return back to the Lord. And it's not going to be many returning back to the Lord. Brethren, it's not a time to doze off. It's not a time to let your guard down. And I'm talking about yourself. Why are you here today? Is it because that's what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to be here to worship the Lord, to give Him thanks for all that He has done for us. You know, I know that America is seen by third world countries like Mexico, the Philippines, and wherever else you go in the world. We're seen as the richest nation in the world. And we are. We are the richest nation in the world. Nobody lives like we do. Nobody. People in Mexico don't worry about whether it's 72 degrees. They just hope there's a fan somewhere that will give them some breeze. That's why in Yucatan they sleep in hammocks. Why? Because that way the wind can flow over them and under them, and it'll keep them cool. You know, there is no air conditioning except in the tourist places. You know, and brethren, we need to step up and understand that we're not eternal in this bodies. We're going to die one of these days. We're going to die. You'll die because you're an old person, or you'll die. You can die as a child. We're going to die. And the only thing that will matter then is what you did for Jesus after you knew Him as your Savior. It's the only thing that's going to matter then. You know, I'm going to go on to my message. I've got 20 minutes. You know, when Adam and Eve, when God made Adam and Eve, He put them in the garden. The Bible says He made them outside the garden, then He built the garden, and He put them in the garden. That's what Genesis 2:15 and 17. God put them into a perfect environment. They're in that environment, in that Eden environment. God fellowshiped with them. He could walk with them. They could fellowship with Him. He could talk to them. They could ask Him. And it was a perfect environment, a perfect communion with the Creator and fellowship. But, you know, there in the garden, there was also the evil inclination, or the sin nature. But it was an external force. You know, Adam and Eve could go over to that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they could, you know, talk to the serpent if they wanted to. They could argue. They could contend. The serpent could try to convince them. But at the end of the day, Adam and Eve could walk away from that tree, and they could be free of that evil inclination, of that sin nature. It was an external force. And Adam and Eve could go by there. They could be tempted. But all they had to do was walk away, and they had no evil desire in their hearts. But curiosity is also in the nature of man, and they couldn't leave it alone. Adam and Eve couldn't leave it alone. And I say Adam too, because I'm sure that he wanted that look, that fruit must have looked so inviting that he wanted to see what it tasted like. Because when Eve gave him of that fruit, he didn't even contend with her. He didn't say, "Woman, what are you doing?" He just took that fruit and ate it. You know, Eve was deceived, but this guy ate it voluntarily. Adam, I'm talking about. You know, and they both, that evil inclination, that sin nature became an internal part of them. Now, wherever Adam and Eve went, that evil inclination, that sin nature was with them. and they couldn't get away from it because it was part of them. It wasn't an external force that was over there in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now it was a force in them, the sin nature. And God told them that the day that they ate of it, from that tree, they would certainly die. And it didn't mean physical death immediately. It didn't mean physical death eventually. But it meant death, which means separation immediately from God. God no longer fellowship with Adam and Eve. God sent them out of the garden. And He put seraphims and those flaming swords to make sure they didn't come back and eat from the tree of life. Otherwise, they'd still be alive today. You know, if they hadn't eaten of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve would still be among us today. Death would have been defeated. There would have been no death. But they ate out from that tree, and eventually they also died. Yeah, yes, He lived 930 years. And you say, man, that's a long time, but He still died. He still died, you know. And today, brethren, that evil inclination, I didn't read the text to advance, but you all know the story. That evil inclination, that sin nature, brethren, is internal with every human being today. That sin nature is in you, it's in me, and it doesn't matter where you go, it's with you until you die. And it's hard for us to have communion and fellowship with God the way Adam and Eve experienced it for the time they were there. It's very difficult because we don't cultivate that fellowship. We're not in a condition to come to the presence of God where we can fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can't get away from the sin nature. It doesn't matter where you are, there it's with you, and that's why we have church splits. That's why we have families break up. That's why we have divorces and children abandoned. Why? Because of the evil inclination. Yes, divorce is alive. And even in the church, we may think, well, it shouldn't happen with Christians. Well, it does. Christian fathers shouldn't abandon their children. Well, they do. It's in each one of us. And brethren, God wants to bring us back to fellowship with Him. And I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking after salvation. After salvation. But, you know, that evil inclination is in each one of us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How can we return, brethren, to that Eden environment, to that perfect environment? It is possible even here on earth. It is possible even here on earth. We can have communion and fellowship with God if we just have to follow God's formula. And the first step, of course, is salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus makes it possible. What is salvation? Salvation is knowledge of sin and repentance of that sin. And faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Believing that when Jesus hung on that cross, He was carrying our sin load, our debt, and He paid it all and gave us an opportunity for salvation, for the salvation of our soul. It is then that the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. And now we have an option. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, I like that verse, and it's also 3:16, but it says there, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" This didn't happen. It wasn't this way until you came to know Jesus as your Savior. Before you knew Jesus, you didn't have the Spirit of God in you. But the day you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, Jesus Himself, came and dwelt, invaded your body. Yes, the sin nature is still in there. But now, with the divine nature in there, Jesus Christ, now you have an option. You don't have to do evil, because now you have an option to do good. You don't have to get revenge. Now you can forgive. But you still make the final decision. Yes, God puts it in your heart to forgive. But you make the final decision. You can decide to hold a grudge. You can decide to be hateful. You can decide to forgive. And the outcome, if you don't forgive, you're going to be a bitter person. And you're not going to be very likable. But when you forgive a person, when you do what God tells you, you're going to be a happy person. You're going to be a more pleasant person. Now we have an option, brethren. If you're not what you're supposed to be as a Christian, it's not because God hasn't changed you. It's because you haven't wanted to change. That evil inclination is stronger than that divine nature, than the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. You do, ultimately, you obey one of two persons. You obey the flesh and Satan, or you obey God, the Holy Spirit, living in you. You are who you want to be. It's not that the devil made you do it. It's that's what you decided to do. You don't have to be bitter. You don't have to be rude. You can be nice. You can be lovable. You can meet people, greet people with a smile on your face. And I guarantee you that if you greet somebody with a smile, they're going to give you one in return. But if you greet people with a frown, you can find a person right in front of you that just wants to get away from you because you're not very pleasant. But ultimately, you decide what you do. You decide what type of person you're going to be. How pleasant? Yep. How pleasant or how undesirable you're going to be. You know, we're all how do you say it in English? We all produce happiness. Happiness. I guess that's the best word in English. We produce it when we arrive or we produce it when we leave. When do you produce it? Some people you're glad, you're happy to see them when they come in the door. Others you're happy to see them when they leave. Which one are you? What do you produce in other people? You know, it's not what you say you produce. It's what other people say about you. You know, I may think I'm the most pleasant person in the world, but that's not really who I am. I am who you say you are. You know, what do I cause in you? Do I produce a smile or do I produce a frown? You know, so, brethren, you know, the Holy Spirit lives in us, and now we have an option to do good and to obey God and to create an environment and a person that God will say, yes, I want a fellowship with you. Yes, I want to commune with you. I want to eat with you. I want a fellowship with you. You know, and that's why the Bible says that we need to be separate. In order for this to happen, we can't run around with the world and expect to have fellowship with God. Well, you can't. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Or what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with the infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." If we want to enjoy fellowship with God and communion with Him, we have to separate ourselves from the world, from evil communication and evil company. Yes. You know, this Holy Spirit now dwells in us. And I know that James 4:5 says that the Spirit lusteth to envy. This is not a very good translation in the King James Version. In Spanish, it says it better. Okay? It says the Holy Spirit is jealous of you. That's what it means. The Holy Spirit who lives in us, which is Jesus Christ, He desires us so much that when we stray away to the world, He's exceedingly jealous. Jealous. Because He bought us with a price. He doesn't want us flirting around with somebody else, with the flesh or with the world. He wants us for Himself. That's why He paid the price, which was His blood. And He's jealous of us when we go out to the world. And instead of following Him and cherishing Him and trying to be as close with Him as we can. It's like, I know we may not feel jealousy as much as we get older, but we do when we're young. When we're trying to conquer a young lady or a young lady's trying to conquer a young man. And you see that person out there on the corner hugging or what have you, necking with somebody else. Don't you feel jealous? And you say, that dirty dog, you know, what do the girls say? That dirty dog, he was out there with so-and-so, you know. Or the guys, if they find out that their girlfriend has been flirting around with somebody else and what have you, or you get jealous and you get angry and you want to go punch somebody in the mouth. And, you know, and I think the Holy Spirit lusteth after us. He wants us to be just His. He doesn't want us cuddling up with somebody else. Holy Spirit wants us cuddling up with Him. Jesus wants us for Himself. Yes. This separation, brethren, demands a deliberate action on our behalf. We have to decide, I'm not going to run around with the world. I'm not going to hang out with those that speak, you know, evil words. I don't want to hang around with those that are just thinking about, you know, things that they're not supposed to be thinking. We have to make a deliberate action. The Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please God. First, we have faith for salvation. We trust that Jesus is our Savior. I believe He's my Savior. I believe He lives in me. I believe that when I die, my soul is going to be, when the Spirit comes out, it's going to drag my soul to heaven. This body's going to die. I believe that. We're all going to die, and I believe I'm going to die one day. But I know where I'm going. No, I've never been there. But I know it's a better place than this. Otherwise, the Apostle Paul wouldn't have said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's gain. It's gain, brethren. God requires that we have faith for salvation, and then we got to have faith in Him for to live. Brethren, it's impossible to, as a safe person, it's impossible to go through this world without knowing that someone more powerful is in control. I tell you what, if we didn't have faith in Jesus, it would be a time to commit suicide and shoot ourselves because of the state our country is in and because of the corrupt people that are running it. It'd be a time to say, hey, this is it. Let's check out. But because we know Jesus Christ, it's a time to believe and understand that He is still in control. He's not asleep. He hasn't gone on vacation. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going on. Brethren, salvation is automatic when you repent of your sins and put your trust in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. But fellowship with God and blessings require your obedience. You can do, you can walk with the world and run with him and say, God bless me, God bless me, God bless me. He's not going to bless you when you obey his commands. His commandments, he will bless you. He will bless you automatically. Obedience brings blessing. It's all through the world. It's all through the Bible. I like what 1 John 3 says. Let me read it for you. And I know that 1 John 3 says, and whatsoever we ask, 3:22, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. When we do his commandments, love our neighbor as ourselves, and love God, we're automatically blessed. Not because we ask him, but because we obey. And then whatever thing we ask him when we obey, we also get. And whatever, and if we're walking in his footsteps, we're not going to be asking for vain things or material things or things that we're not supposed to be asking. We're going to be asking for the conviction of people in people's hearts that they come to Jesus, that God bless, that more unsaved people come to church and meet Jesus as their Savior. Brethren, fellowship with God and blessings require our obedience. And obedience requires separation from the world. It requires that we walk in his commandments. And it's part of the Great Commission. I know sometimes we ignore it, but it says, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. We're supposed to obey the things that God commanded us. And brother, I'm sorry, Jesus didn't have a King James Bible with him. He had some scrolls, maybe. And maybe he didn't even carry them. He went into the synagogue to read them. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And brethren, when I got saved through people quoting Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. But they forgot to quote Ephesians 2, 10. For we are his craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has beforehand created that we should walk in them. Or God has beforehand ordained that we should walk in them. Brethren, we're not here just to be saved and go to heaven. We're here to be saved and do God's will here on earth. But you know, we as saved people, we get so side-turned, or what is it? Sidetracked, you know. We start dreaming about heaven. We start dreaming about walking on those streets of gold. We start dreaming about being on that crystal sea and casting your rod. You know, it's a crystal sea. You're not going to be fishing up there, brethren. But we're dreaming about heaven, and we forget about the work that we're supposed to be doing here on earth. And we're going to get to heaven, brethren. If you know Jesus, you're going to get to heaven. But how many of us are going to go up there with empty hands? If you're not obeying Christ, if you're not walking in his commands, you won't have anything to present to God. Yes, you'll be saved by the skin of your teeth just because you repented of your sins and trusted Jesus for salvation. But what about rewards? The last page of the Bible says, Jesus says, lo, I'm coming and my reward with me to give everyone according to what they've done. There's rewards. But those rewards are achieved through our obedience. Not just because you're saved. Yeah, that's the first requisite. You got to be saved in order to start accumulating rewards up in heaven. And you accumulate rewards by your obedience to God's commands. How much are you going to have in heaven when you get there? We have a lot here on earth. We have big savings here on earth. But whenever you die, it's going to be left there for your children and grandchildren to squander it in less than 6 months. Maybe. Depending on what you taught them, what values they have. You know what I mean. It's happened before. We have a job to do here on earth. And it's an important job. It has to do with the salvation of souls and teaching God's virtues. There's many things that we, I know it's 12, there's many things that we can strive for in life. And education is good. It's not always the best thing, especially with our colleges and universities. It seems that that's where we lose our children. The best thing you can do in life is give your life to Christ and serve Him. Serve Him. Because it's got eternal rewards. Think about what you do. I don't know. There's probably teachers here, doctors, lawyers, I don't know, business owners. All that's going to be left here. And even if you're a doctor, I think that's the biggest, greatest profession that there is. Even if you're the best doctor, all your patients are going to die anyway. It's not going to be one of them alive. They're all going to die. But I tell you what, brother, if you preach the gospel and you get one soul to repent and receive Jesus as their Savior, that's one soul you will see in heaven. Preaching the gospel, giving a good, building up a good testimony so people believe you when you talk to them about Jesus is something that has eternal rewards. A soul saved that you brought to the feet of Jesus is a soul you will see in heaven. And you're going to, I don't know what rewards God's going to give you for it, but you're going to receive something for it in heaven. Yes? Brethren, so let's not be lazy. Let us not see this earth as something eternal, because this is going to be burned up. You know, we waste so much time, and I did it myself, you know, building up this body and keeping it fit. And you know, showing those muscles to impress the girls. And the girls, you know, doing aerobics to show their skinny waist, you know, to the guys and trying to impress them. And that's going to, that worms are going to eat your body. But your soul, when you die, will go to heaven. And God will reward you for your faithfulness to His commands, for your obedience. At the end, that's all that's going to matter. Not how much money you had, not how big a business you built, not how good your body looked. It's how faithful you were to what God commanded you to do. I want to read one verse, Hebrews 12:14, and I want to end here. Hebrews 12:14. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. This is here on earth, brethren. You may have a different opinion, but study it a little bit more, please, before you say that's not so. Follow peace with men and holiness. This holiness, brethren, is that perfect state when you walk in obedience to God's commands and you seek His fellowship, you will see God. What do I mean? You'll feel God's presence near to you. But if you don't walk in obedience to His commands, you'll never feel God close to you. And I'm talking about while here on earth. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And you acquire holiness through walking in His commands. John says, he who says that remaineth in Christ should walk as He did. Something like that. We need to walk like Jesus did. And He did the Father's will to the letter. And Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And we're supposed to obey every word of Christ. And if we do, we can achieve that perfect state, that state of perfection as Adam and Eve enjoyed with God for the time they were there. But you can't enjoy, you can't come back to fellowship and close communion with God until you know Jesus is your Savior. It's then that you can obey If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to let you know you need Him. You're a sinner, like everyone else in here. And as a sinner, your eternal place is hell. Now, you may not believe it. You may die not believing it. But the day you die, your soul will know what hell is like. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, understand that He came to pay for your sins on the cross of Calvary. He paid for them. He bought you eternal life, which He now offers you as a gift. All you have to do is repent of your sins. Say, God, forgive me. I'm a sinful person. Forgive me. I believe Jesus died for me. And call upon the name of the Lord. Say, Jesus, save me. And He will save your soul forever. And then work on obedience. And you will feel the Lord's presence in your life. Jesus said, behold, and He said this to save people. He said this to the church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If someone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. We're talking about fellowship. If you're a saved person, I believe God may be knocking at your door. If you're not doing what He called you to do, He's probably knocking at your door. And He says, repent. Come back to me. Come back that we can sup together. We can have fellowship and communion. Let us pray.